A race to figure out the future of greyhound racing in Iowa is playing out at the Capitol. The finish line? Session adjournment. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Clay Masters. Greyhound racing in Iowa cannot support itself, and it's currently using casino revenue to supplement the winnings they pay out. Casinos say they should not be forced to subsidize a dying industry. The Greyhound Association is saying that their industry provides jobs and livelihoods, and they should be given a soft landing. We'll discuss where talks are at the Statehouse. Conversation live at the Capitol Law Library after this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Good afternoon, I'm Clay Masters. Greyhound racing in Iowa cannot support itself and is currently using revenues from the casinos to supplement the winnings they pay out. Casinos say they should not be forced to subsidize a dying industry. The Greyhound Association is saying that their industry provides jobs and livelihoods and should be given a soft landing, basically payout from casinos, to allow them the option of establishing their own track, separate from casino operations. We want to know what you think as we're here in the legislative session. Have you been to the Greyhound races in Council Bluffs or Dubuque? Would you be disappointed if they went away? Give us a call. The number is 1-866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk, send us an email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org, or reach out to us on Facebook. Maybe the biggest teller of where talks are at the Statehouse right now is who's not on the show. Our producers reached out to Bill Wimmer, who has been lobbying on behalf of the Mystique Casino in Dubuque. He told us that based on the timing of this conversation, he felt he should decline our invitation. Representatives for the Iowa Greyhound Association also declined to have anyone participate in our conversation. We are joined, however, by Senator Jeff Danielson, a Democrat from Cedar Falls. He's with me here in the Capitol Law Library. He's chair of the Senate Government Oversight Committee. Senator Danielson, thanks for being back on the show.
Thank you, Clay. It's good to be with you.
So my understanding is that a deal between the Greyhound Association and casinos is very close. Even if they announced a deal today, could it get through the legislature before adjournment?
Sure, we believe that, and we've worked in that spirit all session. My preference would have been to have had a bill that would have survived funnel week, but given the differences in the positions that the stakeholders had taken at that point, we had a lot of senators who jumped overboard as that ship began to set sail during funnel week. And so it's really been a process of shuttle diplomacy. So I think the fact that the stakeholders aren't here today doesn't reflect that that they weren't interested in the conversation or they're not aware of the issues that we're going to have to deal with. In fact, I think they deserve high praise because they've worked in cooperation around the spirit of compromise all through the session. It's just a different process than having a live bill. It's been more of a shuttle diplomacy, and I'm happy with what the stakeholders have been able to work on at this point.
So should lawmakers be letting these interested parties or stakeholders work out their deal on their own?
Well, you're always going to have conversations, whether it's in the Capitol or outside the Capitol. It's a practical reality that we were unable to get a bill that would have survived funnel week in either the House or the Senate. But that doesn't mean legislators and all the other stakeholders haven't been interested in finding a solution to this issue. We are, and we'd like to finish it up this year if we can keep everybody together and actually provide a policy that can get enough votes in the Capitol.
I make a broad statement like greyhound racing is dying in the state. Give us a pulse of the progression of greyhound racing in the state of Iowa and where it is today.
Well, I think there's no question that those that participate, players, those that watch the Greyhound races, the in-casino participation rates have dropped. I think everybody has acknowledged that. But keep in mind, I think it's unfair to call this a subsidy that must end because we don't like subsidies. The reality is we subsidize business and industries all over Iowa throughout our tax code. In fact, the tax expenditures that we provide to businesses, which you could call subsidies if you'd like to use that phrase, equal our direct appropriations. And most Iowans benefit from those investments back in their communities. And if you look at horse racing as well, the track here locally in Des Moines helps provide some subsidy for those purses. Over the long run, that's meant that those industries and businesses have been able to be a viable part of rural Iowa in particular. So there's a lot of supply chain factors that encourage the state to have a policy of horse racing and dog racing. And so I believe that we should, when we're looking at the economic conditions we face today, be responsible about whether or not we're going to phase that out. And that's why I've always supported both a soft landing and a second chance.
So put into perspective what this supply chain looks like.
Sure. Well, you've got the dog breeders themselves. You've got a lot of the voluntary greyhound adoption associations who help with the dogs that have can no longer race. That policy we have to think about and be thoughtful about. All of the care, feeding that goes into those dogs, veterinarians, for example, and all of those other businesses that have been supported because we do have two tracks that race greyhounds, we have to have a thoughtful policy about how to phase that out. And let me tell you this, I'm the one senator who should know this better than anybody because I still have an empty building in my district that used to race greyhounds, and it hasn't been redeveloped ever since greyhound racing left Waterloo. So I have an interest in getting this policy right for the two communities of Council Bluffs and Dubuque, because to not get it right could potentially mean empty buildings in their districts too, and I don't think that would be a good outcome.
So that means allowing these stakeholders to spend some time talking about it and then providing a bill to your committee to figure out if it makes sense what they're suggesting.
Absolutely. A thoughtful transition to whatever greyhound racing will look like in the future. We believe that's the goal.
So we did some research looking into what's happened in other states recently. Why does that make this year Colorado formally outlawed greyhound racing. The state's remaining greyhound tracks had been closed since 2009 when the legislature voted to allow simulcasts of greyhound racing at tracks without requiring live racing. The greyhound industry argued that they should get a share of purses from the simulcasts. It does not seem like other states have provided any soft landing for greyhound breeders, owners, or trainers. Is there a good argument for Iowa providing such a soft landing?
Yeah, well, in the Colorado example, they acted after failure, right? You mentioned the dog track actually closed. We'd like to be proactive and prevent that economic disruption and do it in a way that all the stakeholders can agree with, and then representatives and senators here in the Capitol can get to yes as well. I think a thoughtful process is much better than the economic failures that we've seen in other states.
And in fact, simulcast purses in Colorado now supplement the horse racing purses. Is horse racing the next form of live racing that might be considered on the chopping block if casinos successfully do away with greyhound racing?
Well, I think people have made that argument. Well, we've made some adjustments the last couple of years here in Iowa's law on the sharing of those purses. We've also joined 20-plus other states so that those that enjoy horse racing can do so online anywhere in Iowa. So we've made adjustments to all of those policies over time, and I think Iowans can be proud that when we've done it, we've been really, really thoughtful in what that means to our economy and those that have been affected by it.
And we're throwing around some language with purses. I think that kind of goes without saying, but some might not follow that we're talking about the money that they have to pay out those winnings, correct?
Yeah, sure. So if a dog or a horse wins, there's a certain percentage of that race that the breeders get because they've come in first, second, or third, et cetera.
And you mentioned your district. What have been the implications in your district of the closure of that greyhound track?
Well, if you look at where the track is located in Waterloo, it's been empty for nearly 20 years. It sits on one of the highest traffic properties in the community right off of Highway 20. You and every other Iowan who's paid the gas tax over the years help pay for the infrastructure right around that piece of property. There's no reason it should be empty. But because of a lot of the legal arrangements that had been tied up with the casino and then the dog track, there it sits. So as chair of gaming policy in the Senate, I want to make sure that if we can be proactive and work on solutions that help those communities rather than put them in a tailspin and create that economic downside, let's avoid that. Let's be thoughtful. And I think the stakeholders have really, really committed to making that work this year on the Greyhound issue.
What's an empty building mean to your city?
Well, it's lack of economic opportunities. It's an eyesore when people drive in. You know, what's that parking lot with weeds, and why is there a building there with broken windows and et cetera? And it still hasn't been redeveloped. There's been talks sporadically over the years about what that property could be used for, but in the end, there it sits. And so I really, really take this seriously, that if we're going to do something about Greyhound racing and all of the questions that people have about it, I believe I have an obligation, knowing what's going on in my own district, to make sure that both Council Bluffs and Dubuque come out winners, no matter what the policy that we adopt.
Have you seen a bill?
Yeah, we've been working on language with the stakeholders. It reflects what I've said, the basic principles of a soft landing and a second chance. And I've been very pleased with the stakeholders' ability to communicate. As I said, my role has been shuttle diplomacy, giving some advice along the way about what good policy would look like, what would we likely be able to pass. And so they've been very thoughtful, and many of them, I said, have, in the spirit of cooperation, compromised a lot up to this point. And I think that'll reflect the bill draft when we're ready to run it.
What would a soft landing look like? Define soft for us here.
Yeah, so I call it a soft landing and a second chance. A soft landing is for those breeders that want to be done with breeding greyhounds for racing purposes. There's a payout for them based on a certain percentage of the overall money that's going to be allocated to this. And I want to be clear, too. Iowans need to know that this is not a single penny of taxpayers' dollars. This is all based on the gaming revenue itself. So if you never show up in a casino, you don't have any skin in the game on this. So there's a certain percentage that if a breeder says, look, I'm done with it, I don't want the fight anymore, I'd like to move on, there's a way for them to receive that payout so that their book of business, they can adjust and move on to other things. The second chance is the ability of the Greyhound Association to try to manage a racetrack itself. And we believe there's a decent compromise and a way to do that. And so that's always been a part of the discussion. The idea that you could end this today, if all parties agreed, to me is irresponsible. I've said the dogs that are currently racing have a lifespan that we have to think about. Those communities who've wrapped up a lot of their businesses related to this deserve not to be thrown overboard in that process. So there's a way that we can transition out of the current way we do Greyhound racing and go to something in the future that I think all interested parties in Iowa can support, and that's the work we have ahead of us before we adjourn.
But that gaming revenue does go to support other community causes, so if it goes to Greyhounds, it will be diverted from somewhere else, correct?
Well, the new concept would be it would be self-supporting within the Greyhound revenues, and so what we believe is the two tracks that don't want to do it don't have to do it. They'll still maintain their casino operations. And we're thankful that they've come up with the money to help pay for that transition. So the net plus on this is if this policy is adopted from that point forward, the nonprofits who are able to help with community investments will now have that money, whereas now it's less because they're having to subsidize the purses. So they benefit by trying this new strategy, and they benefit on day one going forward.
So if Greyhound racing continues in Iowa, can it without the casinos? Poorly worded there, but can we continue having Greyhound racing without the casinos propping them up?
Well, there's some who believe that with better marketing, you can provide more revenue. Also, all of the proposals I've seen basically reduce Greyhound racing by half in Iowa. So we will have already said to those who want it to go away, we've met you halfway. We believe it'll phase out by half. But if you look at simulcast and parimutuel, and the fact that most Iowans are not aware, today you can bet on horses online in the comfort of your own home. We have online gaming for horses. There are other things that we can do down the road that would encourage, if we want one track to remain in Iowa, to continue to do that. It's also important to note that Iowa dogs are especially valuable around the country because of the high purses that we've had here in Iowa. We've encouraged a high-quality greyhound, and those dogs race in other places in the country, and so there'll be a market for them as well, because all greyhound racing is not going away in the United States. There'll still be a certain amount of that economic activity.
Listeners, have you been to the greyhound races in Council Bluffs or Dubuque? Would you be disappointed if they went away? Happy? Give us a call, 1-866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send us an email at rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook. So where would this second chance happen, Senator?
Well, we believe that there can be a partnership with one of the existing tracks. I know, and I think the Dubuque community deserves high praise. The Mystique management, the Dubuque community leaders who engaged on this issue have really pushed the ball forward, and I think they've bent over backwards to make this work. And so we're looking at a partnership with them in the future.
And brought up other states earlier. After a new law was passed in Florida requiring tracks to report the deaths of greyhounds between last May and February of this year, 95 greyhounds died at tracks in Florida as a result of illness or injury. Now, some say the treatment of greyhounds has declined because they're no longer making money. Are you concerned about the treatment of these dogs in Iowa?
Absolutely, which is why in our proposed bill we will give the ability of our no-kill greyhound adoption agencies to draw down some of the money so that they can take care of those dogs in a thoughtful and humane way. That has always been a priority of mine. We adopted and authorized greyhound racing in Iowa, and therefore any policy change needs to consider the health and welfare of those animals, and that will be a part of our solution in this bill as well.
Robert from Davenport called 1-866-780-9100. Robert, you're on River to River. What are your thoughts here?
Well, I'm the proud parent of retired greyhounds. I'm on my seventh and eighth ones right now. I also know several of the breeders, one in Dubuque, one in Osage, and I watch racing from Florida all the time on the web, and next week we're planning on going for opening day on Saturday. But, you know, I've talked to people up at Dubuque, and I see as part of the problem, and I understand the concern with the subsidies, but they don't treat it like racing. I brought up the fact, well, how come I never see any advertising? There's never any billboards along the highway that, you know, hey, come to the greyhound races, whatever, like you'd see, you know, hey, come to Cordova Dragway, come to Daytona Speedway or whatever. And I'm brought up, you know, why don't you get people to sponsor the silks that they wear, the numbers? And I was told that it was against the state law to do that.
So, Robert, you're thinking
that
you
have other income from sponsors.
So maybe it's a marketing problem is how you see it, Robert.
I see that as a big part of it, yes.
Senator Danielson, what do you say to Robert's thoughts there?
Well, I think there's some evidence to that. So if the two tracks don't currently want to do that, then I think the agreement that we're working on lets them say, okay, you're out of greyhound racing operations, but we believe the Greyhound Association ought to have a second chance, and therefore maybe they would be a little more focused on the marketing, understanding their customers a little better, and providing those opportunities. And, you know, if we can achieve the policy that's before us, those that don't want to do it anymore, here's a way to thoughtfully transition those out. But yet those that still want to try to make it a viable economic enterprise, then why not? Why not let them at least try?
Robert, do you feel that things have changed drastically as an avid fan and a former owner? For greyhound racing
right now. In fact, I got the two putzes are sitting here on a couch. I don't know. No, I've been to two of the breeding farms, and I've been through the kennels up at Dubuque because I work closely with a lady that we work through Central Illinois Greyhound Adoption, and so I get to see behind the scenes what most people don't get to see. And the subject was brought up about how they're treated. I can tell you that, you know, from what I've seen, I have never seen any sign of any kind of abuse. They eat like kings and queens. They live in extremely clean conditions and everything. And I, you know, as far as changes, I haven't really seen any changes. I know there's some places better than other others, but the problem is when there is a bad owner or a bad breeder or something like that, that's the only one you ever hear about because they charge them with animal abuse and it's plastered all over the news and everything. But you never hear about the good ones because that's the everyday acceptance.
Okay, Robert, thank you. And that kind of follows in what Lori writes in. She wrote, whatever they decide to do with the racing, please consider the greyhounds. They're wonderful animals and make a great addition to the family. If racing is phased out slowly, it will be much easier to find place for these animals. The abrupt stopping of racing will leave thousands of dogs to find homes for, and phasing it out slowly will make it much easier to find homes. And also, now we want to go to the lines. Kim in Des Moines called 1-866-780-9100. Kim, you're on River to River. What are your thoughts?
Well, listening with great interest here. I have been involved with adopting and helping to foster and replace retired greyhounds and other sighthounds since '89, and I'm an attorney, and I understand a little bit some of the subtle nuances and the ins and outs of the industry and the pressures that the casinos are putting on because there's more money in machines than animals, and I understand that. I don't like it, but I'm concerned with what kind of treatment the dogs are going to get again, and the groups once the decision is made, and I'm also curious what kind of thoughts are going into whether or not to make the decision, because the dogs love to do what they do. They're runners, they're athletes, and I think it's wonderful that they've had that opportunity. But I want to hear more thoughts about the rescue groups, because we're the ones that are back here pushing the brooms, you know, cleaning up after the circus leaves town.
Okay, Kim, thanks so much. Senator Danielson, how would you respond to Kim?
Yeah, so we set aside the ability for no-kill Greyhound Association adoption agencies to be able to draw down some of the soft landing money that I talked about. There is significant resources in there. We expressly authorize them to draw that down. And in the policy itself, we don't end it tomorrow. It's a phased-in drawdown of both the tracks over a couple of years. And so there will still be racing in Iowa, even if the governor signs this bill. And we think we've thought through a very humane way to do that transition.
And quickly, casinos argue that their revenues should be not used to prop up a dying industry. Basically, free markets forces have caused the decline in greyhound racing, and we should just let the market work and the sport will die out. But this is the same industry that recently successfully argued they should not face competition from a new casino in Cedar Rapids. Should the industry get to have it both ways, Senator?
Well, I think they've been thoughtful. They've expressed their interest to us that they don't want to do greyhound racing anymore. We've engaged on what that would look like, and I that's why I say all the parties deserve high praise here. They've come together in a spirit of cooperation around compromise. But if the argument is we never subsidize any Iowa business, you would have to go back into our tax expenditure code and find almost $6 billion worth of cuts that we would no longer subsidize. So I think it's an argument that looks like it fits in this situation because there's some economic evidence for people not doing this as much anymore. But we subsidize all kinds of Iowa businesses, and we prefer a thoughtful policy on how to phase this out.
All right. Thanks to my callers, and thanks to my guest, Senator Jeff Danielson, a Democrat from Cedar Falls. He's chair of the Senate Government Oversight Committee. Thanks, Senator.
You're welcome.
Coming up in the second half of the show, we're staying at the races. Earlier this month, the governor went to Newton to sign a bill that will continue to help the Iowa Speedway. It gives new owner NASCAR the same tax break as the previous owner. The original deal was that it had to stay in Iowa ownership to keep getting the tax break. We'll talk about it coming up. I'm Clay Masters. This is River to River on Iowa Public Radio News. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Good afternoon. I'm Clay Masters. We're talking the future of greyhound racing in the first half of today's show, and we're sticking with that racing theme here for the second half. Earlier this month, Governor Terry Branstad signed a bill that will continue to help the Iowa Speedway. It gives the new owner, NASCAR, the same tax breaks as the previous owner. The original deal was that the Speedway would get a tax break only if it was Iowa-owned, but that requirement was dropped this session. At the same time, the Knoxville Raceway would receive up to $2 million in sales tax rebates under a separate bill approved by the House but is now pending in the Iowa Senate. I want to reach out to you, our listeners. Have you ever been to the Iowa Speedway or the Knoxville Raceway? Are you happy with tax breaks for a non-Iowa entity with the Iowa Speedway going to NASCAR? Give us a call. Tell us your thoughts. 1-866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Email us at rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org, and we're also on Facebook. With me here in the State House Law Library is Senator Bill Dotzler, a Democrat from Waterloo. He managed the bill on the Iowa Speedway, and I understand he will manage the bill for the Knoxville Raceway. Senator Dotzler, welcome back to River to River.
Clay, it's always great to be here.
Also with me here in the Law Library here at the Capitol, Brian Stickle. He's the general manager of the Knoxville Raceway. Brian, welcome to River to River.
Great to be here.
So, Brian, first off, tell us about the raceway in Knoxville for our listeners who might not be racing enthusiasts.
Yes. Well, Knoxville Raceway hosts 35 events a year. We're actually part of the Marion County Fair Association. So we're at the racetrack falls under the Marion County Fair, and we're managed by a 24-member board of directors. We have, as I mentioned, 35 events a year. Our biggest events are the Knoxville Nationals in August and the late model Knoxville Nationals in September, and we draw a little over 200,000 spectators every year. The Knoxville Nationals, Knoxville Raceway is renowned as the sprint car capital of the world, so we're known around the globe, and we have well over 1,000 people. In our estimate, people from Australia estimate 3 to 4 times that come over to the Knoxville Raceway every August to see the Knoxville Nationals and tour Iowa, essentially. And we want to build a we want to do some infrastructure improvements, which consists of a 4-story suite building, which would include suites, bigger suites. Of course, the Marion County Fair Board has a lot of work to do, as do we, to make that all happen. But we came to the state and hope to get a little assistance. And this is our biggest project ever, which would be $6 to $8 million, and we could use a little help with that.
Now, unlike greyhound racing, which we spent a lot of time of talking about in the first half, sprint car racing doing pretty well.
It is. We're the past few years we've been on the upswing in attendance. We have 25,000 permanent seats. So, with the exception of the Knoxville Nationals, we typically don't sell out on a regular Saturday night, and we create sprint car races basically every Saturday night. And the unique thing about them is they're stripped down to nothing. They're 950 horsepower, 1,400 pound rockets with wings strapped to them upside down so they don't take off. And so they can turn. And it's pretty amazing how these guys are able to manipulate these things around the track at 150 miles an hour.
And when you talk to the fans, why do people show up?
Because it's exciting. In the course of a race night, there's anywhere from 12 to 15 short races, 6 laps to 20 laps. And it's not a follow the leader thing. They're doing slide jobs on each other. They're cutting each other off. They're passing. They're fading back. And occasionally they crash. And when they crash, it's usually pretty spectacular in that the cars are so light and they flip several times. And fortunately, the drivers walk away the majority of the time.
How do they walk away?
There's very good safety equipment. We're again, we have the best safety crew in the world, and we take safety very seriously with these guys and with our fans, and we want to make sure they're strapped in full containment seats, all the safety equipment you can have, and it helps.
You've got good attendance. Things seem to be going pretty well. Why do you need the sales tax rebate for $2 million?
As I mentioned, this is our biggest project ever. We have never really asked for support before, and oftentimes we give out support. When the state fair was doing some expansion, we donated money to them in the early 1990s. This project, for us to get going within the next few years, we need that extra support, and we're researching all the options, and we have researched other options through the state, and they just didn't seem to fit. The requirements were a bigger project, and this is what we need to do and what we feel is appropriate for what we're trying to do.
All right, Senator Dotzler, first and foremost for you, why does a racetrack deserve state tax breaks?
That's a good question, Clay. In fact, I've got a lot of friends that are I consider my Democratic friends and Republican friends that go like, why would we put money into a racetrack when we can't fund mental health and we, you know, education, and you can go down the list. And really, it's about economic development. In order for Iowa to continue to have a growing economy, we got to address the number one issue facing us here in Iowa, and that's a lack of skilled and qualified workers. So, you know, what's that got to do with racing? Well, if we have every single Iowan stay in Iowa and reach their maximum potential, we're not going to be able to meet the job demands. So we got to recruit people from other states to Iowa to show them that Iowa's really a kind of hip and happening place. We got a lot of excitement going on in Iowa. And we're working on that. And racing is part of that niche. You know, Brian talked about more than 1,000 Australians coming here. You know, racing, it's about the excitement of racing, but it's also about the fans getting together and having a kind of a social, cultural event. I've been to almost every single race at the Iowa Speedway, and I got to tell you, we stay in the campgrounds. People come from all over the country to come to the Iowa Speedway, just like they come to all over the country to the Knoxville, especially the Nationals. And they find out about Iowa. They find out that we got a lot going, and it is exciting. The suites are important, and I'll be running the bill, and I suspect we're going to get it through the Senate, send it to the governor. But you have to continue to innovate. There's an old saying that says, innovate or die. And Tony Stewart, who's a big NASCAR driver, actually broke his leg in Iowa. People don't know that, down by Oskaloosa. But he bought a track in Ohio, and he's upgrading it, and he's competing with Knoxville. And we got to make sure that Knoxville is the top place to race in the nation when it comes to sprint cars. You know, they're the modified, super modified cars. And they're exciting racing. In fact, I've had some people tell me that when they got, that were regular, like NASCAR type drivers, and when they got in a sprint car, it scared them. You know, so it's an exciting thing. And we really think that it's important for Iowa, the economy, just like the Newton Speedway was very important. You know, the Iowa Speedway in Newton was important for the city of Newton, losing Maytag, and it really helped stimulate their economy.
So you bring up the NASCAR Iowa Speedway. Why is the bill needed? What was wrong with keeping it in Iowa hands? You know, early on it was, you can keep this break if it stays in Iowa hands. What?
When they built the thing, it had to have 25% Iowa ownership, and actually it almost was entirely Iowa ownership. Rusty Wallace had a portion of that. And it went through some tough times. Originally, a lot of people don't remember, but they didn't have any NASCAR races. They built that track, a 7/8 mile track, and it was designed for NASCAR-style races. And we ended up having a change in ownership. The Manats ended up having full control, and then they sold it to, Conrad Clement. And the track slowly started to get, you know, in the black, and it really was undercapitalized. And that's where last year Bob Penske was actually looking at the track, and we couldn't come up with the incentives then. And NASCAR bought it, and we are very excited about NASCAR. We got a new manager over there, Jimmy Small, and he's looking at doing more things. So they want to invest in the entertainment, maybe have major rock concerts during the summer. They have to upgrade the facilities. They need more restrooms in order to get a Sprint Cup race. And NASCAR is saying, don't mention Sprint Cup because we got no plans of being there. But every Iowan out there is hoping that that'll happen. But there's not a chance in the world if we don't increase the fan base, we don't increase the facilities. There's a lot of things that need to be done. NASCAR definitely has deep pockets. I mean, they're a very wealthy corporation. But this is a sub-company of them, and just like any major corporation, it has to make it on its own. And they're not going to pour endless amount of money in there. So what they need, and what we did, was we continued on the sales tax abatement and eliminated the clause that said it had to be Iowa ownership. So NASCAR could get get a rebate. What, just like at Knoxville, they have to generate the sales tax, and then every quarter, part of that sales tax that's being generated at these facilities, Knoxville or at the Iowa Speedway, would get returned back to that original corporation to kind of help. So you don't get the $2 million or you don't get the remaining $9 million all at once. It takes a period of years. And I think Knoxville is going to be over a 10-year period. Is that right?
Yeah.
And with the Iowa Speedway, it's an additional 10 on top of what they'd already had. So it's important that we put some investment in there. But Iowans gain greatly from these tracks. I think Knoxville estimates about $50 million worth of revenue every year that comes into Iowa because of it. The Iowa Speedway is about the same. They don't hold as many races, but the impact on the community is huge. And if Jimmy Small, the new manager, keeps marketing what he calls the fastest short track on the planet, and it really is, I suspect Iowans are going to have great return. People love the excitement, and we're going to help capture some of those millennial workers in Iowa because they have a diverse entertainment base.
But doesn't NASCAR make enough money?
Well, what person who makes money doesn't want to make more, you know? But the truth of the matter is, yes, they do, but they still got to run the Iowa Speedway as a profit-loss sub-company, and they're not going to just keep pumping money into something that isn't going to be successful. And we have a gem there. I have spoken with top drivers from all over the country. I've got to meet Tony Stewart and Danica Kapatrick and Kevin Harvick and just Brad Keselowski. He's one of the great speakers of the Iowa Speedway, and they all say the same thing. It's a racer's track. It's an exciting track. They want to bring cup races here, even though, sorry, NASCAR, I brought that up again. But they really want to, and it's exciting. And, Jimmy, I apologize because I get chewed out every time I mention that.
So you'll get two chewing
Yeah, probably two chewed out.
Now, there could be some conflicting messages here. For all the criticism given to this fertilizer plant down in Lee County, the governor gave a lot of tax breaks to an Egyptian company, Orascom. Now many senators in your caucus, Senator Dotsler, have stood up one by one and denounced such a thing. How is this different?
I think it's different because, first of all, they got over $500 million in total incentives. It's about $3 million per job. We're only talking NASCAR gets the remaining $9 million for this. In fact, they're going to give Orascom another $25 million yet this year. And so the other side of it is we want this to continue to grow. They are generating sales tax that never would have occurred if they weren't here. And that sales tax is being rebated back to the company to help invest in this track and keep those facilities in Newton. Since the building of the track, they built a Love's major truck stop. They built two hotels right directly at the Speedway. And I know that people have other plans for other economic development stuff around Newton itself. But Newton is still struggling, and they need this additional incentives. In fact, there are businesses. My favorite antique store shut down in Newton last summer, which tells me that they're not having the kind of traffic they need to have over the winter anyway. And so it's important that Iowa be partners in this because Iowa is going to gain greatly from it.
Brian, I'm curious, have you weigh in a little bit about, let's say this for whatever reason doesn't happen, you don't get the $2 million rebate. What does that mean for the future of the Knoxville Raceway?
Well, we're secure in our future. I mean, we hold, as I say, 35 races a year. They're all successful. We get people from the seven states surrounding Iowa, from across the globe that come to our bigger events, and we'll continue to do that. It would probably just slow us down. And we wouldn't be able to start in our proposed bill. We need to break ground by the end of 2016, and it would probably push us back 3, 4, 5 more years.
So, Senator Dotsler, it slows down things for Brian's track. That means it's slowing down economic growth in Iowa. Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. The same story for the Iowa Speedway. I think it's going to be successful and continue to be a success. But if we want to move this forward, it's going to take some capital. And that was really the downfall of the previous Iowa owners. I mean, they were undercapitalized and they didn't have the resources to try to, you know, draw the big crowds. They need to have events that are off race days. And I think one of the reasons that Knoxville's successful is they market, you know, to a variety of different type races. I mean, they've got the typical what stock cars that people view. They have a whole race season there. In fact, they had their opening weekend, wasn't it this weekend?
Just right. Last Saturday, our biggest opening crowd ever, I think.
There you go. And so, the Iowa Speedway needs to ramp things up. They need to draw more people to that track and realize what a beautiful facility is. And Knoxville needs to upgrade. They need to, you know, keep with the times with major NASCAR players like Tony Stewart at the famous Eldora Dirt Track. They're building those facilities up. And if you're not innovating, you're going to fall behind and you're going to die. So that's why we think it's important that Knoxville and the Iowa Speedway get this support. And they're not competitors with each other. They're going to work together, and there's been talk about collaborating and maybe having joint ticket weekends and kind of events where we can draw these fans in to say, Iowa is a place to race. Whatever you love to see in stock cars, modified, and you know, the big-time stuff, it's right here in Iowa, and Iowa is a cool state to live and raise your family. And we want everybody in the nation to know that because we got a lot going on here.
So what's the how do you think this Knoxville bill is going to fly in the Senate?
I think it's probably have a pretty good burnout and move forward.
Pun intended.
You know, I don't think they don't burn out so much on dirt. But really, I think we're going to get support. There are some people that probably vote against it, but I'm pretty confident we'll get the majority of senators. It's already has bipartisan support, and I've had my Republican colleague senators come up to me and say, you know, we're excited about this track, and we think it's a good idea. And obviously, it was a Republican-run House that sent it to us, and I know there's a lot of support, a lot of excitement around it. I mean, people talk about if you're going to be a super known as one of the top racers of all time, there's a series of races that you need to win. The Indianapolis 500, the Daytona 500, and they also put the Knoxville Nationals on that list. That's how big a race that is. It is known internationally, and it's exciting, big-time race, and they've got big-time talented drivers down there.
Now, it seems like a lot of times you're maybe arguing with your counterparts here in the Republican caucus on tax subsidies, mm-hmm. like this. Well, everybody's just fans of racing? Is that what this comes down to?
Well, I don't think so much, but I think they understand the economics of it.
Okay.
And, you know, it's important for these communities. Knoxville is a reasonable town in Iowa, but it's still considered a small town in the nation. And it's important to help each other out. And actually, the greatest preponderance of bills that pass out of the Senate and the House have bipartisan support. Those are always those issues out there that we're fighting over. And being a pro-growth Democrat, I realize that you need to have incentives to help things move forward. Another great venture on the same thing, they're calling the Knoxville Raceway Dirt Park Heaven, Dirt Track Heaven. And we have a ballpark heaven being built this summer, starting in June at Dyersville in the Field of Dreams. And it uses the same kind of sales tax rebate structure. So we think this is a good tool to help in major recreational projects where people build, the state doesn't have any risk, they build the facility, and we return the revenue that they generate through sales tax. So that's what happened at Dyersville, and they're going to have a great groundbreaking this spring. I hear Kevin Costner and the whole Field of Dreams crew, a lot of them are going to be here. And we're going to be excited for the Iowa Speedway season. And when Knoxville gets that new facility built, It's going to be a big time thing. So we're all excited about Iowa's future.
And Brian, how quickly would you be breaking ground if you get these rebates? I mean, do you have construction crews just waiting to get to
the
project?
They've got shovels in their hands. No. As I mentioned, the requirement is that we break ground by the end of 2016 with our sales projections. That I think is where we'll get to. And while we're currently doing other infrastructure improvements, that's when we hope to get things started to be done by Nationals of 2017.
And Senator Dotzler, it sounds like you might be there for that.
I wouldn't miss it.
All right, Senator Dotzler, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you, Clay.
And Brian, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
River to River is produced by Sarah Bowden and Emily Woodbury. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from John Pimble. Podcasting and on-demand audio of River to River are available at our website, iowapublicradio.org. We always welcome your comments and questions about this program. Contact us at any time, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by the River Monks. I'm Clay Masters. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.